This season of Perf Bites is brought to you by Hewlett-Packard Enterprise. HPE has the expertise and solutions you need to transform your business or government and change the world. Learn more at hpe.com. Hewlett-Packard Enterprise, accelerating next. And Flood.io. We sort out the infrastructure so you can spend more time testing. Flood.io is load testing simplified. Learn more at www.flood.io.
It's time for Perf Bites.
What the f*** is Perf Bites?
The fourth square meal of the day.
Don't bogart the Perf Bites.
F*** waffles.
Microwave ready.
Add nutritional value to your brain.
Adam Jackaloo.
It's time for Perf Bites with your hosts Mark Tomlinson, James Pulley, and Howard Chorney.
Perf Bites.
Whatever.
Oh, threw it in there, dude. I'll let it in there. Hey!
Perf Bites!
Perf Bites!
Perf Bites!
Hello, Perf Biters.
Perf Bites.
Howard's there. It's Mark and James and Howard with you again for episode 73 here in the Perf Bites world, where we are happy to be back a little bit late for 2016's beginning of, we're going to call it now season one. We're in season one, guys, the spring season.
Season one.
Well, spring season.
Isn't that exciting?
Yes. Maybe we need to do it like the TV shows do it, like season one, episode one.
Yes. Season one, episode one. Well, no, I like episode 73. It makes it sound old and wise.
So when we hit 75, is that like a platinum anniversary show or something?
No, we'll just keep right on cruising. We got to keep up with Joe Colantonio in Test Talks. He's in like the 80s or something.
Oh, that's it. You know, we have a goal.
We have a goal.
Yeah.
That's right.
Yeah. Yeah.
So welcome back to Perf Bites, our episode 73 here in 2016, season one. We're going to talk about new tools, and we'll try to keep them as new as we can think that they're new, and also a handful of new techniques, meaning how you may use an old tool, but you're using it in a new way, which is kind of exciting. And this comes from our observations of different customers and folks that are breaking the rules in very unique and exciting ways. But before we jump into that, we'll give a few announcements. The first announcement, always right off the top, is just to say, if you are in need of urgent assistance, we're here to help you. You can drop us an email. In fact, you can send us an email at ask@perfbites.com. Ask for help. You know, James, it's not a crime. It's not shameful to ask for help, is it?
It is not a crime to ask for help.
No. And if you need help, but you don't know you need help, you might ping us anyway and just say a question. You know, we had a question recently about benchmarking. One of the shows we're going to cover on the side here is about benchmarking. We haven't really done a show on performance benchmarking, you know, like TPC or the exchange.
Spec.
Yeah, spec. All these interesting.
Maybe we should benchmark that show.
We could benchmark that show, see how long it is compared to the industry standard for that piece. That'd be good. But send us an email if you just need advice or you need support. Actively, you know, between Howard and James and myself, we know lots of people who are consultants or even whole consulting firms that can help you out, come and do some load testing for you and get stuff done and get you up to speed. So ask.
Definitely not a shame.
No. Ask at perfbites.com. Also, it's been a little bit of a while since January. I think I posted the year in review show earlier here in February. And, you know, we kind of left off 2015 with some ideas in our heads of what was going to change. So, James, maybe you can tell us a little bit about what's coming.
Well, Mark, what's been going on? Howard, we've got some new things coming in 2016. So let's get started. One, we've got a new website in the works.
Yep.
Yes, I know. You can't believe it. It's a new website. Now, what does that mean, Mark? What do you think that means?
Well, I think compared to the other website, this one is newer.
Ah, you are correct, sir. So in addition to being new, we're going to have unique content for people who are members of the website.
Yeah, we're starting
to do this. So we're going to have membership now.
Membership. You can actually be an individual supporter and have a subscription to Perf Bites and be an individual supporter.
This is just like supporting your favorite PBS show.
Where
do I sign up?
There are other podcasts out there that actually take individual donations or memberships, so to speak.
What does somebody get with their Perf Bites membership?
Well, you're going to get unique content, and some of that unique content is actually going to be video.
Yeah, could be video training,
so,
tips
so
and tricks.
That's new and coolness, video.
Yeah, video. That's
we're going to offer up some of our outtakes, too,
there would
some
be
of
some
content,
bonus,
maybe?
Definitely some bonus material, and things that maybe that we might trim down from the main show, and you want to listen to the long version, something that goes a little bit deeper into the subject. You might want to hear some unexpurgated versions of the show that we might
put
in
the
bonus material.
There's definitely some interesting discussions on the European versus the African swallow on some of the outtakes. And it's definitely worth getting a membership when we get the new site up just to listen to those things.
Wait, there's even more, isn't there? Isn't there the show that we didn't publish that James and I just went on a giant perf rant the whole bloody show?
Well, I think we'll have any of that content that would otherwise, Howard, be laying on the scrap floor here in my studio. I'm going to polish it up. The outtakes, the funny stuff, it will all be bonus material that you guys can get your hands on. But most importantly, I think it's that deeper, longer form content when we do a short show to cover a topic and you'd like to learn more, you can actually go listen to the sort of the advanced version or the long version, which is be kind of cool. And it's to be quite honest, we're not being fair to our listeners because this is content that we have sitting here in the recordings that, you know, just doesn't quite flow or doesn't fit or it's too long. And really, we just want to make sure, you know, hey, we recorded it. Let's just share it out there and not leave it alone. So I think it's great for us to have this idea of taking even a small donation in a membership and be able to allow people to hook up. And James, I think we'll look in the next month or so for people to be able to sign up and start doing that, right?
Yeah, we're looking in Q2 for that, and Mark, it really depends upon how busy all the three of us are between now and Q2, because you know we got new logos that are coming for each of the shows. Howard has got Performance Engineering Cafe. I'm going to take ownership of News of the Damned as a separate show. Ownership of Classic Perf Bites is going to be with you. Yep. So we've got all this stuff to kind of mix together on a new site. And of course, right at the end of March, beginning of April, we're going to be at STPCon. So that kind of takes a big chunk of time out that we would normally put this together. And of course, like any good performance engineer, we're going to put the whole thing up and not test it for any reason.
No, I promise I will test it. I'll use one of the new tools that we cover today. And I can see one right now at the top of the list here that I might choose to do a demo run.
Now, are we gonna cache our content up in a CDN?
Actually, we do. We have the Drupal stack itself is cached, and then we might enable the CDN.
So for those of you who don't know, we have standardized on Drupal for a couple of reasons. One, it does have some performance optimizations available to it for how it builds all of the JavaScript together. Its caching model for how it builds content and stores it so it doesn't have to constantly rebuild it dynamically for every user. We don't currently use a CDN, but we do get a lot of advantages for items that are cached down at the client that don't have to be re-requested. So, you know, that's, you know, yay Drupal.
Yeah.
And so come on, Huffington Post, bring it on.
That's right. And we maybe pick up a couple more sponsors, make we can afford the $10 CDN fee. Yeah, we'll have to check that out. Speaking of sponsors, we actually have a bunch of new sponsors that are coming to support the show. We already have a commitment from our friends at HP Enterprise, HPE. So we're happy to start doing on some work with them. Has some verbal confirmation from our friends, remember Ophir and Alon at BlazeMeter?
Oh, yeah.
So we got BlazeMeter actually working with those guys. They want to do a deep dive. So we're going to actually spend three episodes dedicated just to dig into BlazeMeter and see what the heck's going on.
Pretty awesome.
We'll talk about another tool later on, Octoperf. I've been talking to those guys. They're thinking about a sponsorship. Our old friend Tim Koopmans at Flood.io is still thinking about it. So there's some new sponsorships coming, and that's really great because they're supporting the show and they're supporting the audience and all the good things.
And please thank these sponsors for their efforts because this helps us to take time to develop content for you to present.
Yeah, absolutely.
And let's not forget our returning sponsors too, Mark.
Well, we didn't mention Sosta. Funny you mentioned that, Mr. Sosta. That would be really good. We still have to. We'll get a confirmation from Sosta. They may be sponsoring the Performance Engineering Cafe from Howard, which is really great. So we'll have someone to support Howard's time, which gives a couple of hours a week just to be able to produce the show and edit the show and take the interviews. And so I think that would be really, really great if that worked out. Howard, that'd be awesome, man.
Yes, it would
be. So guys, now I think is when we should take a look at some of these new tools and new techniques.
No, wait, you missed the last announcement.
Oh my God. He's going to kill me.
It's the most important announcement. If no one has noticed this, one of the most famous social media hogs, not to say
At Load Tester. Mr. Scott Moore.
The tone hog himself. Has started doing videos, periscopes, and he do some. These are freaking fantastic, and they're a little bit like perf rants. I mean, they're more like industry rants, right, James? Have you seen some?
Yeah,
are they video rants?
Have you not done Periscope, Howard? Periscope is like live video broadcast group chat thing.
Yeah, right, from your phone.
Yeah,
you're talking to Mr. non-social media, so
get your social media game on. Periscope is hot. Everyone is Periscope.
Howard, talk to your sister about it. She'll know.
Why is she like a big Periscoper?
Yeah.
Exactly. Doesn't surprise me.
So Scott Moore, the Load Tester, has been doing Periscopes. If you haven't checked it out, actually, James, you want to? What was the latest one he did? I'm going to look up his website here.
So Scott has been examining the challenges of the big consulting organizations and how they have been selling and supporting their customers with quality assurance tools. And I believe he's bringing forward that, there seems to be some large conflicts of interest in how these tools are being recommended, sold, supported, and then transitioned to the customer, which is not necessarily to the benefit of the customer, but it makes the big consulting organizations really, really happy.
So he rips the lid off of that scam of a container.
Basically pulls the curtain back, and there's a politician there, and they're not quite a dead child. Yeah,
exactly. So
is there like a location where people can go put their own Periscope up to watch this?
Well, you can. The Periscope is periscope.tv. On your mobile app, you can get the mobile app, right, and whatever platform you're on. But his follow him on @LoadTester, just like you would in Twitter, the same Twitter account, Load Tester, Scott Moore. Thank you, Scott, for contributing the real-time thoughts of a man on his commute home after every mildly frustrating day in the performance IT landscape, the reality that we all live. But he's a humorous guy, and we love Scott very much, so thank you.
And be sure and ask him for his barbecue recommendations, because he will have some.
Yeah, he definitely will. We'll take a little bit of a break right now. I'll give a shout-out to a sponsor. I think we'll do the Nuco ad right here. And then we'll come back and we'll talk about new tools.
Hosting for Perf Bytes has been provided by Nuco, New Centers of Excellence in Performance Engineering, The Script Farm, LoadRunner by the Hour, Cloud Architect, Videratech, and LightSquare. For more information, visit the website www.newcoe.com or call 888-212-1104.
Woohoo! Nuco! Woohoo!
That's awesome. I know those guys.
Nuco.
All right. It's a brand new year, so let's talk about new tools. And I'll be really honest with you guys. As we sat down tonight and sort of put on the sheet here in our show planning, what are some of the new tools? I could think of a few, a few in the load testing space, a few in the sort of the accessory extra space. I'm a little surprised. There isn't a huge amount of brand new products happening. There's startups around the fringe. I mean, things doing a new version of the same old, but, there isn't in 2016, there isn't this flourish of fantastic like load testing, performance testing.
Why do you think that is?
I don't know. I think
the market is getting fairly saturated.
Well, that's what I was thinking, James, too. Maybe we're at a saturation point. I mean, let's face it. Something that a lot of the old established tools, they really do their job. They work really well with what they do, and kind of hard to crack it.
Is it more like, you're talking to a guy who was the product manager of LoadRunner, and part of the decisions I know on limited investment, like with any product, you're only limited to so much to keep the things going. Are we now seeing competition in sort of the ebb and flow? We're in sort of the valley right now that says, I'm competing on the things that I'm not going to invest in. Like when I was LoadRunner product manager, it took quite an effort to convince management and convince the business to invest in sophisticated client-side performance. So the true client stuff, the waterfall stuff, everything else that we put in, then eventually they acquired Shunra, so they brought in a lot of client-side capabilities. And, you know, that was an upswing in innovation. There was, you know, like the ebb and flow is we're building new stuff and announcing new stuff. And then, like, I think there's the trough. It comes back down, and then it's like, all right, we're kind of
balancing. Oh, when you think about it, guys, we're kind of at the mature end of the web universe.
Yeah, I agree on
so,
that,
So, I mean,
James.
It started in 98.
Yeah.
Or give or take right around there. Yeah. And it's been growing and growing and growing. And the web client itself has been getting thicker and thicker and thicker. And tools have been kind of, you know, struggling to catch up or stay abreast of this thickening of the web client. Yeah. We're due for another platform shift someplace.
Well,
with that platform shift, I think there'll be an opportunity for a lot of innovation and another new tool to kind of own the market.
Okay. Like, I think people are going to have to do something around HTTP2. I know I always joked and said IPv6, but I really think it's going to have a lot. It's going to take HTTP2 is going to take a lot more traction than IPv6 because it does improve the way the front end data gets thrown across the network and gets displayed on, you know, posted on the browser. So
because IPv6 is all under the covers. You're still going to give a name. It's going to be resolved someplace. That'll be big stuff for like the network performance vendors.
Exactly. Yeah,
but not the application layer people.
So
and to Howard, to your point, you can see developers and development architects making decisions to adopt HTTP2. Because there's some advantage to what they do, it's still, I think, two layers underneath a real feature set. And it may be used to absolve past either technical debt or some other historical architecture that they're like, we're just going to, since we're moving to the new XYZ, which is James's point, we might as well go with HTTP2. Because I think it's not obvious to an end user or a mobile app that HTTP2 is even in play. But
it's not really so today. Yeah, you're right. Never mind. I was going to say today, it isn't really in play that much today. There's a lot of development going on. We do have two browsers that support it, right? We have Chrome and Firefox.
Yeah.
I believe it land two browsers that support HTTP2 right now. I do know that, and this is public information, that Akamai is in beta right now with their HTTP solution.
Yeah.
And so I think within the next 8 to 10 months, maybe a year, we're going to see a lot more traction on HTTP2. So it may make things more exciting. I do know my company is definitely working on it, and I'm sure all the companies out there, all the tool vendors are working on a solution for it. And, you know, I think we'll be out in time when we need to be. And I think that will give us a lot, interestingly enough, too. I think we'll get a lot of new testing opportunities out of this protocol change, out of the protocol enhancement.
Definitely. But I think HTTP2 almost gets a bad rap, even early in its adoption, the way HTML5 did. It was like, oh, this is going to change the world. And then people are like, it's still an app, it's still a UI, but HTML5 didn't really change the world.
Canvas.
I know, and the thing
that's
is,
that, man.
If you're an insider in the industry, it definitely changed the world because HTML5 makes your life so much easier as a responsive design in these things. But unfortunately, you know, we're not inventing the next iPhone. You know, these are like something that changes real human beings outside of the IT sector.
But it's going to make things go some, you know, by nature, if it all works well, it's things are going to go. You know, I've been doing a lot more research on it recently because I've been getting ready for it. And it does make things much more efficient. And it, you know, just the way that they're, instead of having to use multiple network ports, how they're able to put everything through a single network port now. It's just going to make it quicker and cut down on some latency issues. And I'm kind of semi-excited about it right now.
All right. Well, I'll try to hold it together there while we get through the rest of the show here, my friend.
But now we can go back to the real part of the show. But, you know, there'll be a new tool for that, too, or at least an enhanced one.
So let's talk about some new tools. And right off the top, we always talk about, I mean, the majority of work with you guys as our customers, or as listeners, is load testing tools. And we have talked recently with some friends at a company called Octoperf. Octoperf.
Now, Mark, you like an and octopus. I had an opportunity to speak with these guys and get a preview of their technology.
Octoperf.
Octoperf.
I know. There's eight of them. It's eight performance testing tools in one.
Wasn't that a James Bond movie?
It was Octoperfy.
And what I really liked is their logo had like Cthulhu.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
Really? That's what you took out of it, James, the logo?
That was the best thing about the tool. No, actually, you know, I think the Octoperf guys, they had some connection, maybe some of them. I don't know 100% for sure. I thought they were maybe some Neotis guys that went off and tried to do something new and interesting, which is great and good for them. But the idea was there's been the uprise, like our friends at Flood.io and BlazeMeter and such, the JMeter-based or Gatling-based, mostly JMeter-based, cloud-based load testing tools, and which work very well. And they most of them target the developer market. And the developer market, we really hate the JMeter GUI. The JMeter GUI is just the most annoying thing in the world.
Oh, and I got to tell you, the Octoperf script creation, Mark, I don't smoke often.
Yeah.
But I went to the cigar humidor after that preview.
Okay, so most people just have a cigarette after sex.
James went for the cigar.
The cigar. That's very man, very Cuban of you. For developers, you'll see like BlazeMeter they're embracing sort of the YAML interface, sort of scripted. And I think Tim Koopman showed me kind of the scripting interface for writing a JMeter script without touching the GUI. So it's sort of a test script language or a markup language for writing a load test and translating that into an XML format that is the JMeter script. And that's the way that's the way developers think. That's the way like engineers are like, I'm just going to write this in sort of markup language. I'm not actually going to write this. Well, that sort of leaves a lot of, to be honest, there's a lot of non-developer testers out there who still want to run load, but they're not into this cryptic, crazy, low-level language. They would suffer through the JMeter GUI. Well, now Octoperf did a nice job. In fact, our friend, one of the few women in load testing, Rebecca Clenard, did a little write-up on...
In fact, the Octoperf development tool kind of addresses a lot of the things that Rebecca was really unhappy about.
And reasonably unhappy about. She's right on. Yes. Undo features within the JMeter GUI are just abhorrent. They're terrible. And so you're like,
Or how about... allow me to search for this tag across all the recording to see when it arrives.
Versus looking, exactly. I mean, versus looking across all of the entries, rendering.
So what's it doing? Is it putting a wrapper on top of JMeter, making it easier to use?
It's actually taking the JMeter GUI and putting it into a web-based form.
So they actually rewrote the GUI in a web-based.
And they have a recording capability that goes along with it. That's being grown. So if you are inclined to potentially go towards JMeter, or you have JMeter, but you're just frustrated it's taking too long, and you've been using BlazeMeter, you know what? If you still love JMeter, use BlazeMeter. Once you get your scripts in BlazeMeter, it should work fine. But this is an alternative for people who are like, look, I don't even know JMeter from a GUI perspective. I'm starting from scratch anyway. Check out Octoperf.
I think it's far easier to approach than standard JMeter.
Standard JMeter, that's right. And Now, again, keep in mind, the advantage of JMeter is it's completely free and open source from from Apache. So sometimes, you know, you go through the punishment of that GUI because guess what? It's free.
Because you got what you paid for.
You get what you pay for. That's absolutely right. And it's painful, right? Like any open source, when it doesn't quite work, you're in the community. You might be a little bit on your own, depending on what you're dealing with. So so people that want someone else that figured out how to get that GUI to work properly, they're a good one. That's a new tool I found. Pretty interesting.
Very cool.
Yeah. Now, the next one that I stumbled across, and I can't remember who we were investigating on the News of the Damned, but it came across, and I just really, I thought of Scott Moore when I saw Bandwidth Hog. It's a CDN. And the unique thing about the Bandwidth Hog is their ability, I mean, they're competing in Akamai. They're competing in a very saturated space, right? I mean,
with a solid 8,000-pound gorilla in it.
Akamai, yes, the 8 million-pound gorilla, Akamai, is in this whole kind of thing. At the same time, these guys have found kind of a niche in being able to get in your application a little bit like Fastly does. Fastly is what you'd call a real-time CDN, more at the app layer. And Steve Souders used to work there at Fastly. And they've been around since 2011, maybe before then. And Artur Bergman is his name. He's still working there. I think he's the chief architect or designer. But check out Bandwidth Hog. Just because of their ability to not quite take over your whole application, but not be such a burden on your entire infrastructure. Like, you don't have to worry about super DNS stuff. You don't have to worry about all these other pieces. It's sort of app level. I don't want to say it's core, hardcore infrastructure, more like app level infrastructure CDN. And they're hosted by Max CDN. Max CDN is more traditional competitor with Akamai. But again, the very interesting little CDN capability. And my wish right now, guys, is that PerfBytes has enough listeners that when we call out these little companies, that we are sort of slashdotting creating News of the Damned incidents for their websites. Don't you think? So everyone, right now, open up your browser and go to Bandwidth Hog.
Now, the next one that's continuing its innovation path is interesting because all the three of us do have a relationship to this tool one way or the other.
Yeah.
It's StormRunner Load. It's the historical LoadRunner core made available via the web and you know, more integrated to the continuous integration market, you know, integrated with Amazon and other solutions. So they're moving forward. And Mark, I think you had some observations on the true client side with the latest iteration of StormRunner Load.
Well, first of all, my total bias is that I was there with Steve Filoni, you know, as the product manager, is inventing the idea of true client. In fact, Steve actually named it true client. He came up with the name. And the idea behind...
So I guess false user really didn't have the same ring to it.
Yeah, not the same. It was not... Yeah. I have an email somewhere, I'm sure, that has the different names we came up with that were terrible. It's sort of like... remember Topaz Prism?
Yeah, I do.
Yeah. Like, where did that name come from? I have no idea. And I remember seeing all the names for that one going around, and then suddenly you had Prism. That was really interesting. The StormRunner Load is pretty cool because in the original vision that we had around creating True Client, this was in LoadRunner 11, and the idea was we really need to start reinventing all three components, the major components of LoadRunner. Obviously, the scripting tool, the IDE, and the VueGen, the controller tool of some sort, and then the results and analysis tool. And if you look at like what Sosta's done or new companies that are starting from scratch, these are still sort of the three base things. I record a script, I build a script, I run the script, I control the script, and then I actually have a tremendous amount of data. And you look at Sosta has probably the biggest amount of data that they can manage out of a tool, which is pretty cool. But the idea being that with StormRunner Load, you've looked now at the reinvention of the controller, the LoadRunner controller, because the analysis tool was really sophisticated and we got really great reviews on the analysis tool because it was pretty great. But the VU Gen was a pain in the butt. The virtual users were a pain in the butt. And the controller was having a lot of compatibility issues. It really was kind of outdated. So I'm glad to see that HP put the money into sort of taking the controller into the cloud and doing some good stuff there. It's about it's about time, don't you think, Howard? After 2008, the cloud test was already had a controller in the cloud.
So one thing that's kind of cool about the StormRunner is you can take any existing LoadRunner script and you can just import it into StormRunner and go. So you don't have to rewrite all your scripts from traditional LoadRunner into StormRunner.
Yeah, so there's no resistance to the idea that, you know, people can step into a little bit more modern era. The sad part that I think on StormRunner Load is that, and this, I think this is accurate, it's a little bit harder to use it on-premise. Like if you're the same way that you've packaged up Cloud Test Lite and you could actually run it in the VM locally behind the firewall, or there's some more extenuating situations where, like with Cloud Test, you'd have load generators behind the firewall. Similar,
and there are several instances where that happens today. So.
Yeah, that's still, and regardless of the tool, that's going to be a challenge trying to break through the firewall, especially if you're in the financial sector or healthcare sector, something like that. But good on those guys for taking the step forward with StormRunner Load.
Now, Howard, there's some interesting stuff coming on the SOSTA front as well involving data integration.
Let's be really clear. Howard is not at liberty to speak absolutely in detail about this. Otherwise, he'd have to kill all of us, right?
Yeah. So I know that there have been some public statements that have been made in the past, and I don't know how far along some of these initiatives are, but if there's anything that you can share that might be bearing fruit later this year.
Maybe even later within the next month or so. Sure, I can do that. So one really cool, talk about SOSTA. We have four great products. Where I think from a load testing perspective, things are most pertinent is getting the data out of MPulse and getting it into Cloud Test in a more automated fashion. So we've been working on doing this. We're actually doing it. Our consultants are doing this right now. Our engineers are doing it right now. We're starting to write some processes to make it happen. And I do believe within the next month or so, we'll see this out for general consumption.
Cool. Remember when we, inside HP, and I don't think this was ever official, but we used to call it PAL, like Performance Application Lifecycle. And we always referred to the guys that were in the Topaz or APM world, the BSM world. Hey, aren't we pals? And, the idea was we would send them information.
Mark, let me answer for those APM guys. No.
I know. It was really, I'm sorry.
That's a sad thing, too, because it's really such an important piece
and
of
I
your
like those
process.
Said,
no, you're providing us our sampling method. Now go away.
No, John Sullivan was the nicest guy in the world, and I never could get stuff to be built for him. Priorities never worked out. I was felt bad about that. But the idea being that there was this PAL, and this is conceptually it's the same idea, but there's a lot of intricacy between, look, I've gathered a tremendous amount of RUM data about the real world, and I pulled a lot of information from MPulse into this repository. But how converting that into sort of a proactive load test simulation is still something that a developer may never be able to understand. And I think the idea of this tool helping, because we've got the DevOps movement, we're getting the dev people to understand ops a little better, getting ops people to understand dev a little better.
Let's face it, Mark, you hit the nail on the head. The developer may never be able to understand how to convert it. If we can at least make it a uniform conversion from that data in production to build the performance load model and the test, at least it's consistent. It may be consistent at 90% or 75% or 99%, depending upon the conversion model, but it's consistent, and the developer who doesn't have those skills to write that load model is getting something that's useful.
Yeah, yeah.
So, you know, there's another thing too, why we've been talking on this end, and that is actually auto provisioning of grids,
yeah,
which I think is a huge thing.
You guys, what would that be? I mean, when a grid in the so to speak, what is a grid when you do that?
So a grid is basically, so what a grid is, it's a set of load generators mm-hmm. that are at each individual, at each provider.
Okay.
So you can set up these multiple grids where you can, the beauty is you can have all these service providers all over the place, right, to run, uses load generators. But the thing is, obviously you have to allocate the servers from the service provider, right? So that's basically, when you do that, you're bringing up a grid. So that's what a grid is. But that's kind of been, although you're not bringing it up individually one per one, I mean, with the old GUI, you go in, you say, I want 42 servers at AWS West, bang, it starts to bring, with these characteristics, it will bring them up. But there was still human intervention. So what the auto provisioning is allowing you to do is to sort of define it and then kick it off automatically. So you don't have to sit there and go into each service provider and bring up that series of grids.
Yeah, that sounds very cool. And it actually takes me back to Mercury's active test way back in the day when we had points of presence all over the place and data centers all over the place, although they may not have been on the diversity of providers back then, even compared to the number of providers. I mean, nowadays, SOSTA, I think you've got definitely one of every provider that's out there within the top, probably the top 50.
All over the world,
too. All over the world, yeah.
All over the world.
Yeah, and so analyzing production traffic and creating a production simulation that matches that, and you're actually going to send real synthetic traffic from cloud for the cloud test across the exact same links that your real customers were actually going across.
Mm-hmm.
That's very cool. That's very new. The idea of doing it in a manual standpoint is a complete pain in the butt. But
right, it's a complete pain in the butt if I have like 15 locations and I have to manually bring up 40 servers in each of the 15 locations.
Yep. But being able to automate that and make it happen is very, very cool. So we should check that out. And again, no specific dates. Some of this stuff will eke its way out slowly in the near term. But, you know, within the next couple of years, this is really good news. From doing something very cool. So good on you guys. That'll be good. There's a shout out, Howard, to one of our old friends, Tim Grant, who used to work at Shenron.
Mm-hmm.
So one of the new tools I wanted to throw out there, which is somebody doing something, not just a new version of the same old, same old. He's actually done a good job. He's the CTO of a company called Blue Triangle, BlueTriangleTech.com. And I wanted to give Tim a shout out because he's taken sort of the old APM world, those old APM matrix, or I think, Howard, you had a new term for it. Is DSM or something?
DPM.
DPM. Digital Performance Management.
Exactly. So it's more looking, you know, metrics that drive more on the front end than the traditional APM tools, which are more server-side back end. Yeah.
And these guys are specializing, and I've seen it in, because they're East Coast-based, I've seen it in a couple different financial companies here in Wilmington and down the East Coast here. They really correlate this information just like BSM-9 tried to do years ago, is annotating, you know, system performance metrics or real user performance metrics with business objectives, financials, number of users, acquisition, some of the things you see in the marketing, beaconing, Omniture or Adobe part of the world. And they bring it all together into a really interesting, cost and benefit analysis or the ROI models. But it's something that it would be interesting to see where these guys go. You can download a trial from them. It's pretty cool. But at the same time, I think this is a tool that you should be able to use behind any load testing tool, especially, Howard, if it's connected to the real world, the way Impulse mm-hmm. is. So if you are actually generating a scenario that is production-like simulation, you know, for those of you guys that are working in dev and doing little stress tests, I mean, that's great. You're doing a stress test in dev and QA, and that's fine. If you're doing more real-world production-type scenarios and you're not thinking about the dollar signs, you're not thinking about conversion rates and this other stuff, and you'd like some tool or API set to help you enhance that, even if you're using LoadRunner or SOSTA, Cloud Test, JMeter, you can jump in and start sharing this information with a tool like Blue Triangle. So check that out. I thought that was fairly new, and I thought, you know, it's a startup that Tim had started, and you know, very cool idea, and it didn't think it was going anywhere much, but then I ran into it recently in a couple of my calls, and I was like, hey. Oh, yeah, hey, very cool. How are you using that? And they're like, well, actually, we do production simulation in the load test, and so we actually plug Blue Triangle in. I'm like, cool.
Hey, Mark, you made a great point. With all these new tools and all these enhancements and tools, I really want to comment on this. And I'm going to open by saying most all of my presentations and talks have been starting out lately with dollar signs, okay? And that's because, it's all incumbent upon. At the end of the day, what are we trying to do? Especially on an e-commerce website, we're trying to generate revenue for that website, right? Yeah. And once we generate revenue, we get rewarded.
Yeah.
Everybody gets rewarded, right? So at the end of the day, why do we have to get the things right from a business perspective and run our load, with our workload models? It's all about generating revenue so we can all participate.
Honestly, to an individual engineer, it's part of the reason on how you keep your job. If you're in a severe situation, which is sad when it happens, and you might be getting cut, and they might be cutting the team or offshoring or outsourcing your team, offshoring, that's the German version of offshoring. I don't know if you know that. So,
thanks for sharing that tidbit with us.
That's awful.
Yes. But if you're in a situation where you might be being let go or being cut from the budget, this is one of the things where we tend to, it's pretty complex just to do engineering stuff for technology's sake. And we get buried in the weeds of the bits and the bytes. And we forget that there's...
But if you can show that you added $10 million to last year, hey, your return on investment from keeping you around is pretty good.
Yeah, or helped secure the idea of, 6-9 uptime, prevented a $1 million bug outage or something. This is something that even in the back of our heads, we need to make it easier to think about the dollars and cents.
Yeah, I know we're digressing a little bit, but I mean, how about like not new tools, but new attitudes? Because as you say, think about it, your website's successful and we're all contributing. We get to keep our jobs and things like that. So everyone should, as much as we're doing the real cool techie stuff and the cool coding and everything else, let's remember at the end of the day what we're doing it for.
Yeah, exactly.
Right.
James, you want to give a shout out to one of your favorite little project tools?
Yes. And this is kind of, how shall we say, you want to have a common language between you and your project manager, especially during performance testing, where they have full visibility into your tasks and labor. And I found a tool many years ago. It's very lightweight. It's called Dot Project. It's at www.dotproject.net. It runs on the LAMP stack. It's designed for multi-tenancy. So I can create separate organizations underneath the separate organizations. I can create separate projects. I can assign individuals to organizations and projects on a multi-tenancy model. So I can have Bob looking at performance testing efforts on his project and Sue looking at performance testing efforts on her project, and I can have a master project manager, Brenda, looking across these projects and see how labor is being distributed. But having that clear, concise, common language with your project manager where they can see where tasks are running long and why and with who will make your life easier. This is a very lightweight tool. It's not as onerous as Primavera Project Manager or Microsoft Project. The fact that it can run all on one LAMP stack and is 100% web interface is a plus. So
that means I can run it on my Mac.
You could just run it on your laptop.
Yeah, absolutely. www.dotproject.net.
Is there a way to do a template in Dot Project for, say, a standard load test? You could actually share that out on the PerfBytes website.
There is, but you need to have it within. So basically, you can clone a project.
Okay.
You can have a kind of a default performance project, and you could clone it over.
There you go.
So it doesn't lend itself to export or import, although it can import older Microsoft Project files. So you could technically build a small MS Project solution and upload it.
Cool.
as a possibility.
So that's that project. The next new tool area is that it's like weeds. JMeter is like weeds. It just springs up everywhere. And
hey, and Mark, honestly, don't forget Grindr.
Grindr's in there. Yandex. There's a bunch of these other very low-level utilities that, much like JMeter, they're kind of a load generator with a little bit of help on the top. You know, they don't really have controllers and scenarios and all kind of the bells and whistles that the major real tools have. But you take JMeter as an engine or Grindr as an engine, and you wrap it in a website in the cloud. There's just been an uprising, an upspring.
It's like looking at a field in springtime and seeing all the blue bonnets come up, and they're all different tools.
Yeah, they're all different JMeter tools. So there's a whole bunch that have popped up recently. One that I saw at the New York City Testers Meetup, actually I met Richard, is one of the CTO or one of the founders. One of them is called Redline 13. They're based here in Philly. Redline 13, very interesting little tool. Again, their whole point is almost free load testing, mostly because their model is, hey, we're going to share the code that they wrote, but you host it on your own cloud infrastructure, even
virtual. So they're just giving you some more an open source front end or open source wrapper, and then you use your own cloud hours.
Yeah, and I'm not sure financially what their model is. It may be.
It's like running a change machine. You give out four quarters for a dollar, and you make it up in volume.
Yeah, and it may be cloning AMIs or making money off the AMIs in Amazon or something. I have no idea, and I don't really care. But they built a kind of JMeter wrapper, very similar to BlazeMeter, Flood.io, and the guys that we know that are doing this. So here's another one.
And let's not forget Octoperf. We just talked about them. You know, there's you know, that springtime for JMeter right there with Octoperf.
They're blowing it up. Now, there's a few other weird ones. Like, if you really think that all performance testing results should be published only in high contrast black and white, then you should check out Zebra Tester. Right, James?
Zebra Tester.
Zebra Tester. And Zebra Tester, again, is a cloud-based, it's a new version of Zebra Tester. I don't really know exactly pros or cons. It's just one of the new ones that are out there to try. The other one that Richard Bradshaw from the UK recently told me is they use Loader.io. Again, it's a lightweight, more developer and tester-friendly load testing tool, also cloud-based. The company's called SendGrid. SendGrid Labs.
Now on the BlazeMeter front, there's some kind of curious or interesting developments there involving user mirroring or something of that nature.
And what is that?
If you go back to the HP world, they used to have mirror-based testing where you have like one instance of UFT and then you have like 13 other machines set up with the mirrored instances. It's basically the achievement there from functional testing is to narrow down the time it takes to get through every matrix of every possible browser combination, OS combination. So that matrix, that test matrix for configuration and platform, they could use mirror testing to really manually go through the steps once, or UFT would automatically go through it in an automated sequence or test procedure sequence. And they would mirror the actions of node 1 onto node 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, n.
Is it object-based or how did...
It's in the usually in the browser, but at least in some of the thicker GUI tools that do this mirroring. The concept was it's obviously still object-based. It's still an automated script. In some cases could be very analog. And I think in the BlazeMeter world, it's still very web-based the way they do this. But again, it's in the – they're running thousands of instances of the exact same version. So the advantage that this follow me – BlazeMeter calls it follow me.
And it's
so
in an automated fashion, not a manual fashion.
It's in a manual fashion. I think it could be automated by a functional testing tool, Howard. But honestly, it's a manual fashion. So here I am just opening my browser.
I get the concept, and then it's just doing whatever you're doing on a cacazillion browsers.
And then I think there's some parameterization in there that would randomize the user ID for login, et cetera, et cetera.
What about failures? How do you tell if there's a failure on one of the...
Good question. I think they have a dashboard.
Glad I could ask that.
I don't know all the details, but they have an online demo of this stuff. This is Blaze Meter Follow Me, I think, came out last year. They may have announced it actually in 2014, but it really hasn't taken off as far as I know. I don't see it around very much, but it's still very promising idea. And so that's something that you may, maybe not for thousands of users, even though I think they would scale fine for thousands of users in the cloud. So lots happening in the popping up JMeter-backed, cloud-based, whatever. The good friends we have at Flood.io are still expanding what they're doing. They're doing really, really well. I think the other one was Lodestorm. Those guys were always mean to me when I was a product manager, but I forgive them. That's fine. So there's still a bunch of the old ones that are out there, still going strong. Obviously, Sosta is still innovating and doing really, really cool stuff in the cloud in their own platform that they wrote. But we'll see. We'll see what the future, and I'm looking forward to a new version of JMeter. Let's move on to the last couple of categories for these tools. One is in the do-it-yourselfer world. If you have a tool like Grindr or you have a low-level piece, sometimes what you're missing is all of the visualizations that make load testing work, right? So the nice thing
those
you have...
Those are not important, Mark.
They are important. No, that's
are
why
not
we
important.
Add them in.
They're not important.
We put them... We,
it's just load,
we
Mark.
Put on,
it's just load. It's
online
load.
Monitoring load. Was added load. To the load runner mark. Controller in 1997. Come on. Sosta built in all of the monitoring. It's all there, dude. One of the things that I've helped customers do recently is sort of get around some of these different tools. And to some extent, this flies in the face of a lot of commercial tools because there's a lot of DIY shops out there. So they'll combine JMeter, Rundeck, Influx, and Grafana, sort of the... Rundeck Influx Grafana is a rig, the JMeter rig. And that becomes their quote unquote controller machine. And it's got a lot of complexity that is way beyond the normal load tester. You have to know a lot about, you know, setting up tools and deploying packages and managing data and a lot of the stuff that a commercial tool like CloudTest or a load runner would make easy for you, right? I mean, and that's a hard thing for me. I'm like, yeah, I dig the fact that we can do this new with this new cool technology, and it's written in HTTP Go, it's written in some of these cool platforms, and I'm learning some of that new stuff. At the same time, I'm like,
labor.
I'm a consultant, so I dig that kind of stuff because I get to, you know, customers hire me to help them figure it out, which is great. But at the same time, if my job is just get the job done, run some load, and get some results, boy, a commercial tool is so much easier because they've already figured out a lot of this online monitoring, graphing, results, and all this kind of data repository stuff already. To that end, James, I think there's a lot that happens in the LightScare world where folks want to look at logs, and they can't afford Splunk, they can't afford some of the other ones.
So the last element we're going to talk about is also in the open source universe, which is the Elk Stack. And this is not a bunch of venison steaks, one on top of each other.
I thought maybe it was a place to go have a beer with your brothers in the northwest. Just go to the Elks Lodge.
Maybe
Elks
up
Lodge.
In Montana.
In Montana, yeah.
You know, there is like a loyal order of elk out there. Maybe it was like in the Elk...
The Elk Lodge.
The Elks Lodge, yeah.
Yeah, order of the elk.
So what are the elk high doing, James?
So Elk in this case stands for Elasticsearch, Logstash, and Kibana. It's kind of the open source competitor to a Splunk or another log management tool that's on the commercial side of the house. And they've just recently gone through kind of a major rev of all those components. And the look and feel of the Elk stack is collapsing to look a lot like the commercial tools, which is very, very interesting. Of course, the grammar is a little bit different. But if you want to get into log analysis on kind of on the cheap without having to pay for gigabytes of indexing, take a look at the Elk stack. So that's Elasticsearch, Logstash, and Kibana.
Yeah, and I think it's elastic.com. You can go check that out. Now, I will say with both of these open source DIY tools, these kind of stacks, a lot of these things have been applied already to, say, the application logs or some sort of infrastructure, maybe a queuing log or something in the middle tier, maybe even the database. You have database tiers that are logging into these things. The new part of this is that we're actually finding Finally, putting the load testing tools, the logs from the load testing tools, ported into these facilities, which is pretty cool. To me, that's kind of new.
It's a new concept. It's a new concept.
So,
with an existing
you could actually output the JMeter vUser log straight into a solution like the ElkStack or Splunk, and you could have live dashboards just running off the log information.
Yeah.
During tests.
And like in your vUser log, if you're spitting out things about, you know, log output messages or something like that, which shows you, you know, what's been happening, what kind of parameter is now a null value and it should be populated. All those things that you would sort of dig around and say, well, I have to wait for the run to finish. Then I have to go look at the log and then I have to figure out what tool you're running. I have to, you know, do all this kind of extra work. It might be kind of nice to log that stuff in real time. So think about whether we can plug these things in. And actually, to your point, Howard, Cloud Test has some of this stuff already boiled up into the controller, so you can see all the logs, which is kind of cool. So that's great.
Yep.
James, give us your thoughts on what we reviewed here in new tools.
I would say that the flowering of Grindr and JMeter tools is going to continue.
Yeah.
As we get more and more graphical interfaces on top of these tools, which quite frankly address the inefficiencies of these tools, which are really designed to throw load and very little else. And in doing so, it's actually improving the value of these tools. It's making them a stronger competitor in the marketplace.
Yeah. Yeah. I would agree as well. Howard, you're in the hotbed of some awesome new tool development. You have a different perspective of us on what we talked about here. There's some great stuff from Sosta, but what do you think about these different new tools?
I think every tool has its niche or it has its place. And, you know, I love competition. Frank, you know, if I'm putting my Sosta hat on, love the competition, bring it on. It's all good. And you know what it does, Mark? It validates the space even more by having all these players come into it, right? And again, it validates it because everything's getting more complex and, you know, trying to do it manually isn't going to work. So we need to use any tool that we find of value and we can use to help us in our day-to-day job.
Yeah. Yeah. I think Howard, for me, shout out to Tim Grant, our old colleague. And no reason I brought him up. It's one of the rare companies that's kind of on the fringe that's trying to really make exclusively this whole idea of correlating to the business. And I still think that's the thing I see with so many of the tools we talked about, is that they're still very technical. They're very still seeing load testing and performance testing as a technical discipline that doesn't necessarily get correlated to the business by default within itself. And that, so I that's the thing I think, is if you're adopting a new tool, does it help you rationalize performance as an optimal value to the app, to the business, to the end customer? And does it help you justify your existence as a load tester, as an engineer that helps other engineers, you know, make better decisions about performance? And, you know, part of that needs to be the reason I need the Oracle DBA to pull their head out of their
Oracle,
wherever they're pulling their head up. Whatever, out of their Oracle, and actually roll an index differently or do some partitioning differently, is because there's a business initiative that really requires that. And, you know, that's the one thing that sticks out for me, is the idea that we're still seeing a lot of innovation and a lot of new tools that are very technical. And we still probably should do a good job of correlating the value of our effort back to something that business people or customers really, really want. And that'd be really good. All right. Welcome back to Perf Bytes, everyone. Thanks very much for joining us on this part one of episode 73, or is it going to be 74, whatever the thing with the new tools and techniques is. It's really awesome. It is a brave new world of tools and techniques. Thank you for joining us. And we also thank you for being patient while we get things restarted here in 2016. And thanks very much for listening to the episode today.
All right. As always, thank you to the lovely Mrs. Chorney, and of course, thanks to you, our listening audience. Without you, we're just eating barbecue, which really is not a bad thing. Thanks again, and please tell your friends and colleagues about this show, because remember, this is your show.
Hey, wait, we had barbecue? No one told me there was barbecue.
There was barbecue? When was that?
Howard? Where's the barbecue?
I'm sorry. I ate.
Okay. No problem. Mom, thank you for tuning in. I always appreciate your feedback on the shows.
Yes. Thank you to James' mom. She's been listening for almost 4 years. You know that. 3.5 years. That'd be really good. And I'll give a shout out to the sexy Irish voice of Perf Bites, who is doing a great job of helping with the Ministry of Testing and putting together Test Bash Philly. Did you know the Test Bash Philly is going to happen?
When is that?
September.
Woohoo!
When in September?
We're all coming. I will send you the dates. It's all getting solidified right now. Things are going to be really great. Party.
Don't make it the date. I'm going to Myrtle Beach.
No, I'm telling you, party at my house. And when I say party, I don't mean like geek performance barbecue party. I mean we are throwing a house party at my place. You know what I'm saying?
The hammock is going to rock.
Hammock is going to rock. It's going to be a seriously fun time. So we're going to put
walls. Do you have any walls we can knock down after we kind of get going?
By July, September, we will be pulling down this place. It'll be down to the studs, so we can just party.
So we're going to have more fun, huh?
Yeah, we'll set up the DJ here in the studio. We'll be good. All right.
Mark, Howard, today's show is powered by the number 42, which coincidentally matches the number of different applications you need to freaking performance test before you actually hit your stride and everything makes sense.
Yeah. Actually, I think that's the number of people that undermined Scott Moore's efforts at the customer he was at when he was on Periscope doing the thing, doing the rant.
Right? Nice.
Yes. Yeah, that number 42 just keeps coming up in nature. It's really odd.
It took 42 people to offset the efforts of one really good performance engineer named Scott Moore.
Mark? James,
yes.
All of the content of today's Perf Bites episode is 100% copyrighted and protected appropriately by Jackie Robinson's bat.
And the number 42.
Hot damn, huh? So look, violate the copyright and you'll be tied to his bat with a big old fuse and a rocket attached to it. It'll be sent out into space. We'll most likely be captured by Vogons and be forced to listen to Vogon poetry while still being tied to the flipping bat.
And you still won't know the answer to life, the universe, and everything.
Exactly.
For more information about Perf Bites, visit the show's website at www.perfbites.com or follow us on the Twitter, the Tumblr, the Facebook. And of course, you can always subscribe and listen to the Perf Bites podcast on iTunes, iHeartRadio, TuneIn Radio, Stitcher, and testingpodcast.com. Just open your favorite listening app, search for Perf Bites, and click the subscribe button. And keep in mind that you can send us an email with your questions or thoughts at ask@perfbites.com or even leave us a voicemail at 77-LOAD-PERF. That's 775-623-7373.
Hey, Perf Biters, the Sarge here. Just telling you to keep those cards, letters, iTunes reviews, emails, faxes, and notes via new tools and techniques coming our way, because we love them, we need them, and by golly, we have to have them.
Perf Bites show and staff are supporters of the Practical Performance Analyst, the Performance Engineering Book of Knowledge, Test Bash and the Ministry of Testing, the Computer Measurement Group, the Workshop on Performance and Reliability, and of course, the Software Test Professionals Community of Software Testers. We hope to see you at the next STP Con in April 2016 in Silicon Valley. By the way, they drink lots of caffeinated beverages in the valley, so you'll be right at home.
Yeah, absolutely. Visit stpcon.com. All three of us are going to be there. We're going to do a live show. We have all kinds of different recording events happen that week. It's going to be really, really awesome.
And Mark, maybe we should say that if you identify a Perf Bites license-plated vehicle outside of California or the Carolinas and you talk to the driver, you might win a pair of shoes.
You might win a pair of shoes. That'd be cool. Damn. actually, you know, just start a cross-country marathon with you guys. That would you could follow James all the way across. He drives everywhere, really. He's been everywhere, and he drives everywhere.
He's just a driving fool.
He is a driving fool. Thank you guys for listening for the Perf Bites episode today. Have a great day, and catch us on the next episode. Thanks.
Bye, everyone.
Ciao.
Bye.